All right, good people, welcome back to the Habits of the Home podcast, Advent edition. We are fully in it. We are fully in it. I am feeling more Christmassy. Every episode we do, I'm just, honestly, it's like, call me Father Christmas, because it's happening.
It is so happening.
It is so happening. If you're new here, I want to say welcome. You can absolutely start with this episode, but we've done two episodes before this. And even before that, we did, what was it? Four episodes last year,
2022.
That you won't want to miss. So there's tons to catch up on. And also, obviously, this is done with our church family in mind, Lagan Valley Vineyard in Northern Ireland. But if you're not from Lagan Valley Vineyard in Northern Ireland, you're also very welcome here. And if you are curious as to how to get your hands on one of these Advent books that we keep talking about, you can email Stuart at stuart@laganvalleyvineyard.com. That was the most confusing way to say that. You can email Stuart at Stuart. No, here's the email address. Stuart@laganvalleyvineyard.com.
That's the one.
We're pretty generous with our resources. You may have to pay for postage or something if you live like
really far in Australia. Yeah, absolutely. And also, will it get there in time? But yeah.
Also, I love that in our minds,
people in Australia
want this Advent book and are listening to us.
Absolutely.
Talk this, some of it nonsense, most of it not nonsense.
No, this has been great.
Absolutely.
This has been great.
So anyway, yeah, today I'm going to let my incredible co-host Stuart Bothwell introduce us to what we are going to be talking about today. I'm super excited about today.
This is your favorite thing to talk about.
This is actually my favorite thing, Stu.
You're buzzing about this. Today we're going to talk about the feast, which really centers in on Christmas Day. So I guess all of the anticipation, all of the build-up, all of the energy of Advent, it does come together on Christmas Day. Whenever we party, we celebrate, and it's so important that we do that. Advent is a season of waiting, but we're waiting for a moment of celebration whenever we get to open ourselves up to the arrival of Jesus. We have written a specific prayer for feasting. It's a prayer for the 25th of December. It's a day whenever we want to create space at whatever moment feels most appropriate, most helpful in the rhythm of our Christmas days. Every family has a different rhythm whenever it comes to Christmas Day. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we want to create space for, I guess, a moment, whether that is first thing in the morning, whether that's before dinner, whether that's after dinner, during dinner, whenever suits best, for a moment whenever we make an announcement. And the announcement is, we want to invite somebody in your family, I think especially if it's possible for a child in the family, to make the announcement of, today I share good news of great joy for you and for all people. A Savior has been born to us. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And let us join together with the heavenly choir as together we proclaim, glory to God in the highest heaven. Hallelujah, you are here. And there's space for blessing and then an invitation for feasting. It is, I guess, a moment for us to be able to herald the good news of Jesus' arrival. And it's so important that we go all in on celebration whenever it comes to Christmas. There is one thing, I guess, to kick this conversation off around, we want to cover a little bit of the practicalities of what does it look like to prepare ourselves, to prepare our homes for that day of feasting. And also, I guess, what is going on in the spirit of that kind of celebration. But there's always something that many people talk about of feeling Christmassy. And some people feel Christmassy from like September. Some people don't even feel Christmassy on Christmas Day. There's that thing that we talk about of like, hey, do you feel Christmassy or whatever? And I guess I want to like chat with you about that, Dana, because oftentimes in the hecticness of Advent, the hecticness of Christmas, we don't really feel very Christmassy, you know? And yet there are things that we do in our homes, particularly around decoration. We talked about preparing our table in the last episode, that do really help us kind of. Do you want to speak to that for us in terms of, even though we might not feel Christmassy, just the importance of still, I guess, doing practical things that lead us into that celebration moment?
Absolutely. I think sometimes we underestimate that connection between our external world, the physical, and what's happening internally.
Right.
I think sometimes even as people of faith, we devalue the external world because we're trying to balance out our own obsession with things, yeah. right? So we devalue the external world, trying to up. Nope. Increase the volume. Oh my gosh.
I like up.
I'm like talking to a toddler. Let's up.
I like it.
Trying to increase the value of what's happening in our spirits.
Yeah.
And it's like, for instance, when you're a parent of small children, I say small, when you're a parent of teenagers.
Yeah.
And you are taxiing and you are, oh my gosh, cooking all the food.
Sure.
In my case, hiding food so that we have some for the rest of the week because they won't stop eating. You're so exhausted. And your husband goes, let's have a date night, right? Okay, in that moment, I'm not like, oh my gosh, I feel so romantic,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
A guaranteed way to never feel romantic is to show up to date night in my sweats.
Right.
It just will not happen.
Right.
Right? So when we have a date night, I will go take a shower. I will put on a nice outfit, mm-hmm. right? I'll put on some lovely music in the house. I'll light some candles, right? Because all of these things are signaling to my internal world, this is a romantic time.
Right.
It's the same thing with any other part of your life, and especially at Christmas.
Sure.
I know that I'm obsessed with Christmas. I know that. And I know that not everybody is this obsessed with Christmas. However, it is a big, big moment in our church calendar.
Yeah.
It's a big moment in the story of our faith and the story of the gospel.
Yeah.
That we are all agreeing to take the time and acknowledge this moment. And if we're going to do it.
Yeah. Do it good.
Do it well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So for me, when it comes to feeling Christmassy, for me, there's a very real delineation between it's not Christmas and it's Christmas.
When is that?
When I go get my Christmas tree sure. and decorate my house for Christmas.
Yeah.
I do not let things slowly trickle into my house Christmas, like that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Okay.
My kids laugh at me. There's a very real moment when we start listening to Christmas music and when we are not listening to Christmas music. Yep. I'm not one of those people that's like Christmas in September. That is offensive to me. I'm not having it. It is not welcome in my home.
Yeah, I totally okay? agree. Yeah.
Because I'm American, there's an easy cultural
with the
moment.
Thanksgiving,
and
yeah.
If you do Thanksgiving and literally the day after that, you may slide yourself into Christmas,
sure.
basically. So.
Yeah.
This year, my parents are coming over for Thanksgiving.
Great.
So it's an actual real moment. And then we're going to take the next few days to decorate our house for Christmas.
Brilliant.
So for me, it is those external things that I do.
Yes.
That really signal to my internal world. Like, we're in it now. We're committed to this.
Yeah.
We're doing the thing.
Yes.
I don't know how people do it without the external thing. I know people who don't put up a Christmas tree until like the week before Christmas.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Which I wouldn't even go through the trouble of buying a Christmas tree at that
sure.
stage. I'm
yeah.
like, these things are expensive.
Sure.
I need it up for as long as, like,
yeah,
honestly,
yeah.
it should look like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree by the time Christmas rolls around.
Yeah,
needles
yeah.
falling off everything.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? When do you start? Are you a I feel Christmassy person, and when do you start feeling Christmassy, if you do?
So this December, we'll be celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary, which is mad.
Whoa,
and,
that's massive.
And exciting. So we got married on the 2nd of December. So that for us feels, it's kind of the delineation
yeah.
moment of like, okay, we always really try to celebrate our anniversary as big as we possibly can. And then off the back of that, I guess in one sense, it's kind of our Thanksgiving,
yeah.
actually, you know, in that it's a moment where Emma and I get together, be thankful, celebrate, feels like a party, and then we're able then to kind of slide into Christmas, as you talked about as well. And yeah, it's the same. I also, back in the day, I used to work for Starbucks
mm-hmm.
For quite a long time. And so that was just a full immersion into the Christmas happens, the start of like the Red Cups
mm-hmm.
always came out the first week of November. And so I have deliberately over the years tried to go in the opposite direction of that.
I get that.
And again, Starbucks, if you want to sponsor this podcast, you're so welcome to do so. But I guess I've had the swing in that way where that was for years on end, listening to Christmas music every shift, all that. So I'm now very much start of December. Usually the first or second weekend of December, depends on where our anniversary falls, then that's the weekend that we'll get our tree and decorate it and that kind of thing. So,
I love that. I agree with that. I don't think I've ever really... I did work in anthropology when I used to live in LA for a little bit, which didn't work because I spent all my money at anthropology. Great candles. It was ridiculous. But so I think I have a memory of like Christmas being like the retail Christmas starting so early.
Absolutely.
But because I never really had it to where it completely ruined it for me, I'm okay. So I guess in my head, we've talked a lot about spiritual practices, which we will always talk about. We love it, love it, love it. But one of the things we talked about when we were doing the Christmas Day prayer was that we wanted it to be quick. I know that sounds silly and like not spiritual at all, but we're acknowledging that that day is very full.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways to engage in meaningful ways that we didn't want you guys sitting around for like 15 minutes reading a liturgy when there are so many incredible, meaningful things to be doing on that day to connect with one another.
Absolutely.
And to celebrate the whole journey of Advent that we've just been on.
Yes.
So we did this proclamation for the feast. And we called it, we centered around the feast because that really is the centerpiece of the Christmas day, isn't it? Like 100%. That idea when you sit down and you eat. But let's sort of walk through the elements of the day that we felt deserve to not be rushed through.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. And one of those is the act of gift giving.
Yeah.
Which is really important. Now, again, you know, speaking of bigger companies that we used to work for and all of that, there we do have to be aware of the consumeristic element of Christmas, and it's important to name that. And particularly, there's so much pressure that is placed upon people to go all out whenever it comes to gift giving, and we do want to just caution that.
Yes.
We do believe it's important to give gifts.
Yeah.
Because it is, in one sense, a practice that opens us up to recognize that we have received the greatest gift in Jesus. And so gift giving is really valuable. It's really beautiful. But there is also a line, I think, that is helpful to just be aware of and to avoid going over as much as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
For so much. If we're talking about building healthy families that are focused on the way of Jesus, like spending everything on Christmas gifts is so not helpful.
I think it's important to say, and maybe to release people from the pressure.
Absolutely.
You do not need to go into debt.
No.
For Christmas gifts. Andrew and I have an agreement. From our kids were no age. We let them know how much God has provided for us.
Yep.
How generous God has been with us. And we also have no problem saying to our kids, that's not a financial priority.
Yeah.
So even with small children, one of the ways that we set our family up for success at Christmas is we do our Christmas list with our kids very early. So let's say by the time second week of November has happened, we've already started seriously talking about and making them write down what they actually want for Christmas.
Yeah, it's good.
We use a system that's really simple that has four different categories. Something you want, something you need, something you wear, and something you read. Now, each of those systems have like a few different lines in them.
That's great.
And I say write everything you can think of on that. And then I sit down with each child and go, well, we're not getting that because we decided as a family, you're not going to get that or something.
Yeah, okay.
Or, we're not getting a dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and you would be surprised how smoothly that goes at that stage. Waiting until Christmas Day and like, we didn't get you this, but we got you this. Like, that's when the wheels come off.
Yeah.
So one of my jobs as a parent is to set my children up for success by managing their expectations.
Yeah, that's good.
I think some people think, well, doesn't that take away the magic of Christmas? They know what they're getting. And I'm like, I've not experienced that. Like, there is just as much excitement and whatever in the air.
Yeah.
And everybody's expectations have been managed well. Do you know what I mean?
That's really good. That's really good.
And that idea of not caving into putting things on credit cards that you can't pay off immediately, it's just really important even for our kids to see us make decisions that go, yeah, no, we're not going to go into debt over some what's supposed to be a holiday for us that is centered around Jesus.
Yeah. No, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I think it's important for us just to name that as a thing, also name it as a temptation that so often we bump up against, you know. But there is also then, whenever it comes to the day of feasting, the Christmas day itself, it is reframing the actual moment of giving and receiving gifts. Yes. Because so often it can be this incredibly chaotic moment that is often really rushed, where it's like you rip open everything, everybody does it all at the same time, and then it's just carnage for, like, joyful, wonderful carnage for 30 seconds, and then it just crashes, and then it's all over. Yes. And so I guess we've wanted to slow that down a little bit more, much more deliberate, and also open it up in once. This is the thing about practices or just acts, things that we do, actions, they can become spiritual practices in and of themselves whenever we are a little bit more open to the presence of Jesus, where we slow them down a little bit more and we're very deliberate about how we do them.
Yeah.
And so the act of giving and receiving gifts, in one sense, it can be this spiritual practice if we slow it down a little bit more. Absolutely. Even though that's not, it's not churchy or, you know, it's not, I guess, what we would associate as a spiritual practices, but things like this can be.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have, you're, you know, you got much more skin in the game whenever it comes to this conversation, because Eliza's, she doesn't know she's getting gifts.
I mean, you could give Eliza an empty cardboard box for Christmas,
and she would be so happy.
I miss those days.
Yeah, she would be so happy. And truthfully, that's what she's getting this Christmas. Anyway, this is not. She actually is getting a, and this is probably helpful to name this. We, my brother and sister-in-law had a kitchen, you know, those like wooden kitchen sets. So Eliza will be getting that for Christmas. We're, you know, getting that from our brother and sister-in-law. We're, we're kind of doing it up a little bit. We're kind of going to decorate it a little bit differently. Yeah. But in one sense, it is a recycled Christmas gift.
Absolutely.
Which is so, it's, one, it's so helpful for us right now financially. But also sustainability is really helpful, and Eliza will, she will flip and love it. So that's what she's going to be getting for Christmas. But in terms of for the past couple of years with your three, how has that moment gone down of being a little bit more deliberate whenever it comes to it? Could you just share a little bit of what that moment has looked like and what you hope that moment does in the life of your kids?
I mean, we've done it all. We've done it all. We've done the, it's over in 3 seconds. There's tears. People are hitting people with new toys. You know, it, so we've been there.
Yeah.
And I think when they're very tiny, so we had all of our three children with, within 18 months. So they were, there really was no super mature older sibling and no spread of ages. So it was, they were all sort of in the same stage in life. And so as they've gotten older, I think when they're really little, you are managing that and you kind of, you can slow it down a little bit. I didn't. If I had to go back and do it again, I probably would toy around with like the kids giving out the gifts. And one of the things that I liked that we did a few years ago and we kept doing it is that there's no like a bunch of people opening a gift, at, opening gifts at the same time. It's the enjoyment of watching someone get something they really wanted, and it's just slowing the process down a little bit. And again, how you prepare your children for this is really important.
Yes.
We went to a really nice restaurant the other night as a gift from someone, and I knew we were going for weeks. So I prepared my children at my own table. Like, okay, I want you to eat like you're at a, like I, you know.
Right. Okay.
this idea of preparation for children and setting expectations is more important than the actual decision that you're making.
Yeah, that's good.
Kids actually would be okay with a ton of different scenarios. Do you know what I mean? If I told my kids you get one big gift and then lots of really tiny ones,
yeah.
If I prepared them for that, they would be fine with that. If I said, here's the budget we're going to spend on you, and so let's da-da-da-da, if I prepared them that, they would be grand with that. It's all about preparation. And so this year, what we're gonna do again, like people opening gifts one at a time, the joy of watching someone receive something they really wanted.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. We are also going to allow people to give presents. When they're really young, you know, like we bought everybody's stuff, yeah. You know. So, you know, the kids didn't really necessarily have presents for each other, whereas sure. In the last couple of years and this year, they're buying each other presents, which you got to make a big deal out of that. Because
absolutely.
That is one of the joys of the gift giving, is actually being the giver.
Yeah.
And knowing that you're giving someone something that they really wanted. Yes. Do you know what I mean? And I think what works for us is actually just to say a quick something, whether it be a prayer
yep.
or a reminder of why mm. we're getting gifts today.
Yeah.
Why we're getting gifts.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people that I know that on their birthdays, they give their children gifts for no other reason, but it's just extreme generosity.
Mm.
And the day that they have a right to focus on themselves, they give their children gifts. And I think to myself, isn't this what Jesus is doing? That on his birthday, on the day that he came and gave us the best gift ever, that we are also still receiving gifts. And so you have an opportunity here.
Yes.
To make it more about like, what did you get for Christmas? Because you have every right to get things for Christmas.
Yeah.
But to really frame it within the overwhelming, ridiculous generosity of God.
That's good.
That on a day that is focused on him, that he delights in us getting things that we want.
It's really good.
Do you know what I mean?
It's really good. Whenever it comes then to, so gift giving is a really key mm-hmm. moment in mm-hmm. Christmas Day. Let's talk about the meal.
Oh, yes.
Which is just the best, right?
Yeah.
Can you just share some of, well, why do you love that moment? I know it's such an obvious thing.
I know. Yeah.
But I think it's important, even just as we prepare ourselves for that day, that we go in with a bit of a reminder of like actually why that moment is important. Because again, it can be a moment that can pass very, very quickly, even though it usually is a bit of a longer meal, kind of couple of courses and all that. But why is that moment important?
So it's so funny. I'm staring into the face of hosting Christmas for our whole family up here.
Right.
And I've hosted Christmas before, but not for everybody.
Okay.
And so...
So we're talking... That's how many we're talking.
So there's eight adults and 8 children.
Right, okay.
So that's 16 people.
Yeah. That's a crowd.
Uh-huh. And, like, I think that's... I feel like different stages of really feeling like an adult is when you're hosting Christmas.
Sure.
Like, when we first got married, I didn't host Christmas for 10 years.
Yeah.
I felt like a kid. I was like, I cannot be trusted with Christmas.
Yeah.
What are you talking? You know, so this is a pretty big deal. That moment of the feast, I think because I think of it in terms of the larger story, and this is why participating in Advent is so important for the Christ follower.
Yeah.
Because when you have done those weeks of Advent, when you have sat in the waiting, when you have confessed the longing that has not yet been fulfilled, when you have said your prayers, when you have consistently shown up, is he here yet? Has he come? When will the Messiah come?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you get on a very minuscule level the incredible relief and celebration that would have happened in the hearts of the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
in the hearts of all of those who believed.
Yes.
And even in heaven, the choir of angels singing, finally, it has happened. It has happened.
Yes.
You get to have, you get to recreate in a very tiny way that moment of the shepherds have been called to follow the star because he's here.
Yep.
And you get to be among that, the first to come and to worship and to celebrate and to feast.
Yeah.
And so for me, the moment you talked about the prayer, the feasting for the day of Christmas, I think that's the moment I'm most looking forward to. One of our children, one of my nieces and nephews, we give it to the kids.
That's great.
We'll make what we call the proclamation.
That's great.
And they will say, raise a glass today, family, because today we feast.
Yep.
Because he has come.
Yeah.
And I think when you encourage people to let the kid, if you have kids in your family who can do it, to allow them to do it, it's because there's something in us when the voice of a child proclaims such deep and bold truth.
Yeah, very much so.
That is so moving and that we need to hear as adults.
Yes.
And even that idea that it's a baby that we're celebrating. That
yep.
When it came to saving the world, God came as a baby.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me though, I'm not gonna lie, this is no word of a lie, no exaggeration. Even though I do not welcome Christmas into my house in September, mm-hmm. I actually start preparing for the Christmas feast September.
Yeah.
Once my kids go back to school, when we talk about the financial strain
yeah.
on the expectations around Christmas time, one of the ways that I manage that is to begin buying Schlur. I know.
Again, Schlur, if you want to
that Schlur went on sale, y'all, and I was in super value, making multiple transactions to thwart the four Schlur bottle rule. Because I know if you're really into hosting, one of the temptations is that you will go into debt.
Sure.
To host people yeah. at Christmas.
Yeah.
So for me to not feel that stress and the financial strain, which unfortunately can sometimes mark the month of December and
yeah.
January,
yeah.
I start to buy nuts and jars of olives and yeah. Crisps. And I have a closet that is kind of out of sight.
Sure.
And I have a massive box and it all goes in there.
That's great.
And I know that sounds really ridiculous, but on a practical note, I applaud anybody who can start thinking about Christmas the last week of November and stay within budget.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally, yes.
So for me, that feast also, I think the reason why it's such a big deal is because I've been planning it
yes.
from September.
There's this build up.
Absolutely.
Like you're constantly preparing for it.
Absolutely. There's a really cool book and I cannot think of the name of it right now, but if I think about it, I'll put it in the show notes. It's a bit intense, actually. I got it from a friend, but there's some really good parts to it and it's about hosting.
Right.
And the psychology around hosting. And one of the things that she should suggest that you do is before you have any sort of event, even if it's like a dinner party for just two other people.
Sure.
Ask yourself like what, why?
Mm.
Like what do I want people to get to walk away from this moment with?
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good question. So I know you guys aren't hosting Christmas this year, but when it comes to that Christmas feast,
yeah.
What do you want to walk away with? What do you want your family to leave that day with a sense of?
Yeah. I'll be at my mum and dad's this Christmas time. And the thing that I'm probably most excited about with this Christmas in particular and this Christmas day is that there'll be four generations of my family there
mm-hmm.
Around one table.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eliza, we'll see how long she sticks around the table, you know.
Under the table.
Yeah, maybe. She'll be all over it. But that for me is a really significant thing, mm-hmm. and a thing that will not necessarily be, like, I'm just, you know, to name it, won't be the case in a couple of years' time, mm-hmm. With elderly grandparents and all of that. And so for me to be able just to, one, just notice that, recognise that, and for Emma and I to see the beauty of that, and just to be Christmas for us will be with a toddler, it'll be frantic, and so it'll be probably a bit more rushed, and it won't be, let's just sit down for a few hours around a dinner table and have great conversations. It'll be a bit more haphazard than that. But just to be able to catch moments of just recognizing that that is going to be the case,
yeah.
and to go in preparing ourselves to see that that is going on, I think that's really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
I do love the moment, the proclamation moment that you've talked about, because I do love, and we will use it, even though we're not going to be hosting, my folks will be really open to us leading that moment probably before we eat together. And there's something I love about it in that there is a proclamation moment, but there's also a call and response mm-hmm. moment too. And I love the dynamic of call and response. We use it on Sundays in church whenever we pray prayers together. It's such an important dynamic because it is in and of itself participatory. It calls us to participate, and not just in a, you know, obviously there's going to be people that will be working really hard to prepare Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also going to be some people that are just going to be sitting down and just going to be consuming.
Yes.
Right. And I will be consuming a lot this Christmas, right? Thank you, Mum, in advance. But that moment draws us to not just be consumers, but to be participants and to be participants in the story that you've talked about. And I just think that's such a, it's a small thing, but it's a massive thing mm-hmm. for us to see that what we're doing is participating in the event of Christmas.
Yeah.
And yes, it may be a couple of millennia ago, but we're still participating in the arrival of Jesus. We're still participating as if we were there then and then. And for us to be able to have a moment of just recognizing that, yes, we get to celebrate the arrival of Jesus in this moment, and we get to enjoy it as participants, not just consumers. I think that for me is a really, really exciting moment. I'm also really excited for this Christmas day in particular. We won't be staying, we'll be having the meal at my mum and dad's, but then there'll be that moment whenever Em and I'll go home,
mm-hmm.
we'll be able to put Elle to bed, and then we'll just be able to enjoy just a few quiet moments at the mm-hmm. end of the night. And I always love Christmas Day evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I loved it whenever I was growing up. It always was just a moment where just like we kind of as family just got to just relax a little bit more, catch our breath a little bit more. I know that some folks like to spend some time with mates after spending some time with family.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's really special. I think it's really cool. And so I'm looking forward to that moment of you catching our breath at the end of Christmas Day and just, yeah, relaxing into it, I think is really special. So I'm really looking forward to Christmas this year. I think it's going to be really, really significant.
I love that. I think we should move into like practical best tips or things that we did that no one should ever do when it comes to that Christmas Day. I mean, let's be real. Like, it doesn't matter how many times we tell ourselves to chill.
Yeah.
The Christmas Day expectations are high.
Yeah.
The stakes are high.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's so emotional. And that's why, like, there's a reason why Christmas Day is one of the most sort of, it's known for being a day where families get into massive arguments because emotions are already high.
Yeah.
And expectations are unreachable.
Yeah.
Practically.
Yeah.
How do you prepare yourself to navigate all of that?
One thing that I find really helpful in the past couple of years, and Emma and I have been much more deliberate about this, is that usually the days leading up to Christmas Day, so Christmas, like Christmas Eve is a big party day in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some mates have open houses and Christmas parties in the lead in. Usually those days are so full. And so what we've decided to do if we were organizing a gathering with friends, or I tried to spend some time with some of my mates. Usually that would have been in the run up to Christmas. Mm-hmm. We have now made the most of the week in between Christmas and New Year, mm-hmm. just to actually say we're going to celebrate then. Yeah. Or even actually that Christmas party, we're going to wait until January,
yeah.
because January's rubbish anyway. So let's just kind of hold off and have something fun planned for January. And so just trying to manage our schedule, we have found trying to not cram in those days, because Em and I are finishing off work, you know, in one sense with my job is that also working during Christmas as well. And so there's just so much that's going on. And if we're able to pace it out a little bit, I find that to be particularly helpful. And then also in December is just getting into the spirit of it, however you can get into the spirit of it, and just enjoying that. So, you know, for us and our family, it's always been a trip down to the QFT to watch something like It's a Wonderful Life or whatever. And things like that that have just become fixed traditions.
Yeah.
Just making sure that you prioritize that is just really key. So I think always in the lead in to Christmas, just trying to schedule things out so that you're not getting to Christmas Day and you're absolutely knackered.
Absolutely.
I think is really key.
I echo that sentiment. I think the week between Christmas and New Year's has the pace that I always think December is gonna have,
100%.
But then I'm surprised that it doesn't.
Absolutely.
So I just, I actually have realized that it's just best for me to embrace the pace that December takes, because there's Christmas shows I have to go to.
Yeah.
There'll be dance shows, there'll be school shows, there'll be our Christmas carol service and our. And I've just learned, I think sometimes you can go into December resenting the things.
Before it's even happened. Yeah,
particularly
absolutely.
If you're an introvert like me.
Yeah.
You feel like the world's making you do all these things. And so in the past couple of years, I've really changed my perspective on that.
Yeah.
And seen December as an active month. And it's almost like in and of itself, it's a feast. It's a feast of social interactions.
Totally.
And I just sort of lean into it. And I literally probably don't get dressed the week between Christmas and New Year's. And I watch all the movies and I'm on the sofa with the kids. And so knowing that that's coming.
Yes, it's a helpful.
I can enjoy
the
activity of Christmas or December better.
That's really good.
It's really funny. I have realized that for me to be a happy person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're hosting Christmas Day, I think it's really important to sit down and say, what do I need to be a happy person on Christmas Day?
Absolutely.
Because what we'll do is we'll open our house up for Christmas Day. People will come peopling, because people,
sure.
that's what they do.
Yeah.
And not meaning to annoy you or make you feel like you're the only one in the kitchen, all this stuff. And then all of a sudden your resentment levels and your annoyance levels are about to hit the roof. And I've realized I need to sit back and say, first of all, what do I need?
Yeah.
And then I need to put things in place.
Yeah.
So for instance, I know this sounds so silly, but whenever I have a dinner party, before people are done eating, probably really even before I serve them, I set up a station for what to do with your plate and the leftover food,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We have, you know, the food bin, but we also have pigs. So
sure.
we set it up. So by the time I get to the kitchen, all plates have been scraped. The cutlery is in one thing.
Yep.
The plates are stacked.
Yep.
All I have to do is rinse them, stack them in the dishwasher.
Right.
It's little things like that that change the game for me.
Yeah.
Or if it's something really simple, I learned this the hard way. Before you feed people, make sure your dishwasher's empty.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. How many times did I flipping put myself into stressful moments because the dishwasher was full of clean dishes, or worse, full of dirty dishes that no one ran the cycle on. And I know that sounds really silly, but especially if this is one of your first couple of times hosting Christmas. Christmas is like the Grammys
Yeah,
of any kind of hosting.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
the level of planning involved.
It's the Met Gala of
It is
of,
the Met Gala of hosting. Of hosting. Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You have to sort of approach it with a... And if you're not a planner, you should go talk to a planner and they'll
be able to guide you through.
Come to me. I will send you home with a daily running schedule. I genuinely have a running schedule and I set timers on my phone. So I don't have to worry about anything. So I can be having a glass of champagne with the family and my phone will go, take the ham out of the oven. And I go, gotta go take the ham out of the oven.
Okay, right. We need to dig into this a little bit more.
Oh, it's... Oh.
So when do you... How far in advance are you scheduling that out? Or what does that look like? Do you take yourself off a couple of days in advance, map it all out, then just put in a bunch of reminders on your phone?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Once you map it out once...
Then you can just repeat it every year.
You can repeat it based
yeah.
on when you want to eat.
Yeah.
But basically what I will do is probably at the start of December.
Yeah.
Because I need to order the turkey. Or actually, I don't because my mother-in-law doesn't.
Yeah, she does.
But I need to order the ham.
Yes.
And I need to figure out how much food it is, right? And so I will sit down at that stage and we will decide what time we want to eat.
Yep.
And everything works backwards from there.
Right.
And I know it sounds like a lot of work and really silly, but anybody who's ever attempted Christmas dinner, you know that if you don't have this type of organization,
yes.
something is going to get ruined.
Right.
And we'll hope it's not the turkey.
Yes. Or the ham.
Or the macaroni and cheese.
Or the, yeah, okay, yep.
People here don't know about the macaroni and cheese.
It's good though.
Stuart has had my mother's macaroni and cheese.
It's
and
great.
His life was changed.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I do that. I
just schedule
it all out.
Yeah.
Even as little things like I so grateful. I have two ovens.
Yeah.
And they're both at different temperatures, so that determines which things go in which oven and at what. I mean, it's crazy.
It's an operation. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's what I need.
Yes.
That's what I need. And the reason why, Stu, is if I don't do that, I'm absent on Christmas Day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I can't fully engage in being with people.
Yes.
In hanging out with my family and playing the games because I have to, you know, be doing Christmas math in the kitchen.
Yes.
I do it all ahead of time.
And I guess we chatted about this before, but it's the difference between Christmas Day being like a performance.
Yes.
Which puts so much pressure. Two, there's still always going to be pressure whenever it comes to
yeah.
hosting 16 people, but you're able to be much more present.
Absolutely.
You're able to probably enjoy it a lot more. And that, like, hosting, we've chatted about this, you enjoy hosting, you enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
So there's an element of actually, it can be a fun thing to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Despite it's still being lots of spinning plates and all that.
That's it. And do you know the other thing that I had to learn the really hard way? And for those of you listening, please take this on board. Don't be like me and have to learn this the hard way. But I think sometimes when you love hosting,
mm-hmm.
You have an expectation that you will do all of it.
Yeah. Okay.
And when people say, can I do? No, don't. Just bring yourself. Just bring yourself. Don't just bring yourself. Bring a fully cooked dessert.
Yep.
Bring the whole cheese.
Yep.
Tray.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
My mother-in-law bringing the turkey.
Yes.
That wasn't easy to like let things go. But mm-hmm. actually, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
To not have the turkey on my to-do list and taking up my oven.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
And I think to set yourself up for the best Christmas you can have with your people.
Yeah.
You're going to have to let some things go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You're going to have to let people do things.
Yes. No, 100%.
And I think that's hard for someone like me to do because there is that moment where it's a performative thing and you don't want people to see you as not being able to do it.
Right. Right.
But again, what's the point? And do you know what's really funny about that for those who struggle with that? If you want people to feel at home in your house, you do have to give them a level of responsibility, because then they go, I'm contributing. This is our thing.
Yes.
This isn't me coming to be entertained.
Yes.
This is our thing.
Yes.
You know, and totally. I've had to learn that the hard way, you know, getting to the end of evenings and feeling like I couldn't get out of bed for 2 days, or feeling like people just didn't feel as comfortable or at home. Sure. And I had to realize it's because you made your house like a restaurant.
Yeah.
No one's taking their shoes off at a restaurant. Yes. No one's relaxed. Like, we're on our best behavior at the restaurant.
Totally.
You know, and so, yeah, I had to learn that one.
This is a small thing. Well, no, it's not a small thing. Actually, I think it's really important, is the dynamic of showing up to church on Christmas Day as well. Because it's, because whenever, speaking of the performative thing, if you are building up to this is, you know, Michelin star level, Met Gala-esque Christmas dinner extravaganza.
Yeah.
The thing that often then is thrown out the window instantly as well.
I showing can't up, go to church.
Yeah, totally.
I don't have time.
And actually, it is one of those things that for us is incredibly important whenever it comes to... Now, it always... Our Christmas Day services are the scrappiest lo-fi services that we do in our year. And yet I love it for that reason, in that it is just full of families, full of life. Ultimately, it's a kind of day of work for us, so we're kind of coming in and we're kind of like, but it's also Christmas Day, so we're like, we're probably at 50% level, you know. And but at the same time, I love that there is this moment that we gather with the saints, that we celebrate the arrival of Jesus, where we worship with, you know, James on his guitar and his kick drum, and we're just able just to have a moment where we're able to gather with everybody and to celebrate. And I guess it is just, it's an important piece of the puzzle whenever it comes to that day, and yet so often is kind of thrown out the window because we're so pressured, or we're so slammed, or the emphases are in the wrong places whenever it comes to the day. And actually, I guess, not in a religious legalistic way of like you gotta go to church on Christmas Day, actually it's just recognizing that there's a real joy to that moment and being able to prioritize it, I think, is really, really key.
Absolutely. I mean, I did not grow up going to church on Christmas Day,
right?
And I was super churched. It's just not an American Protestant tradition. I don't know. I think maybe actually in Catholic Church in America, they do go to Christmas Day church or something, or more reformed traditions, I think, may do that. But I didn't. So when I first moved here, and Andrew's like, we're going to church, I was like, what?
Yeah.
It almost felt anti-Christmas. It almost felt like, what kind of evil is this? You know?
Yeah.
And so this is something that I've had to grow into valuing.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think I probably am still growing in that. For me, if I'm completely honest, it is a sacrifice of love that I do. But now that I've done it for nearly 15 years, I think I do understand this idea that it's about keeping the main thing the main thing.
Yep.
And that is a day that we as the church are celebrating such a massive moment.
Yes.
In our history, a moment that changed everything. And so to not gather together, even if it's just for 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
Would be a bit strange, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
And I think with my children will think it odd to not go to church.
Yes.
On Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lovely thing. I think for them, their Christmases, every memory of their Christmases involves being with brothers and sisters in Christ, even if it's just for 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
And it is one of those things that I would consider a spiritual discipline, and that I probably wouldn't do it naturally.
Yeah.
But I am very happy to do it now.
And the wonder of it is that if we are truly family as the church, to be able to celebrate together is key, but also recognizing that there may be some people in our community that actually that moment is incredibly important.
That's right.
If there's folks that maybe don't have as wide an extended family, or they're going through some stuff right now or whatever, that actually that moment is Christmas.
That's exactly
and
right.
And for us to, in one sense, prioritize the other in that moment is also really key. And often a day whenever we're so focused on prioritizing us and our own, for us to be able to open that up much wider to be welcoming, embracing, celebrating with our brothers and sisters across the life and diversity of the church is so key.
That's so key. It does make the cooking timings a bit tight, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. You can schedule it on your reminders, I think.
I do. The other thing I would say, practically speaking, if you're hosting Christmas, or if you've been invited to someone's house for Christmas and you've asked what you can bring and they said, don't worry, we have everything sorted, bring a snack for everybody.
Yeah, that's good.
Have the snacks.
Good.
Okay? Because we don't eat Christmas dinner till around 4 p.m.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not cooking lunch. I'm not like making sandwiches.
Yeah.
So we'll have a breakfast, bacon and soda and whatever, and eggs for breakfast before we come to church.
Yeah.
After that, it's every man for himself, and you better stay out of my kitchen.
It's good.
So there is an endless supply of crisps and crackers and sitting on my island. Help yourself and do not bother me.
Yep.
I'm convinced that 90% of family arguments on Christmas happen because someone's hungry.
I think you're so right. I think you're so right. That is so true.
Hangry.
That is so true.
Yeah.
That is so true. I think the key thing is, as we just chat this through, is get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Is check in on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
You will wreck yourself. And relationships.
That is my one rule of life, But then also just trying to do whatever you can to be as present in this moment, recognizing that this is a moment for participation, not just performance and consumerism, I think is really key. Whenever it comes to, as we sort of begin to wrap this up and think about the whole of Advent and it's building towards Christmas, as you look ahead to this season, what is your hope for our community this year? And I guess if you were able to say something to our community just to encourage them in this time, what would you say?
I think my hope for our community is my hope for our community during Advent, but it's year round. And it's why we have started Habits of the Home.
Yeah.
I have such a deep longing in my heart for the members of our community to look up at some stage in the future and find a life deeply rooted and rich, that the relational things that they long for within their families and their friendship groups come to fruition. But the thing that I know for sure is we don't get those things without intentionality.
Yeah.
We don't get those things by just hoping alone. That we have such a capacity to shape our futures that we abdicate that responsibility so often, and we allow the busyness of life to overwhelm us and talk us out of doing the things that are going to get us what we actually want.
Yeah.
I know that I desire, and I know that everybody else desires, if you have children, you desire to have a deep and rich relationship with those children.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen just because you're their parent and just because they're your child.
Yeah.
And a lot of us know that all too well, painfully. There's so many of us longing for a deeper relationship with our parents, a healthier relationship with our parents. If it was going to happen just to happen, it would have happened for us all.
Yes.
So we all know that these are things that actually take work in time.
Yeah.
And so really, in closing, this Advent booklet, this Habits of the Home liturgy is our gift to you. And it is a gift. It is an absolute gift, because what I know for sure is that if you consistently show up with your family to Jesus,
mm-hmm.
there's rich blessings that flow out of that. Not perfect. You don't have to show up perfect.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, the amount of times that we skid into family devotions, people are crying.
Yeah.
People have just fallen out.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's shouting. You know, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to show up.
Yeah.
And so we made this blueprint because we also know that showing up and making up something to do so for some families is just too much.
Yeah.
So we've done the work of putting in this structure that's based off of little and often.
Yeah.
To hold your family's interactions with each other and with the Lord. This is a gift. This is our gift to you this Christmas. And my prayer, my absolute prayer, Lagan Valley Vineyard, is that you take it and you use it. I'm not asking because it's not a favor to me.
Yeah.
Please do it.
Yeah.
Because my deepest desire for you is that you get to enjoy your family the way God intended. And that does not happen on purpose. And everything, nearly everything in our culture is actually working in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is really important.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Whenever we wrap up Advent and wrap up Christmas, we're going to be spending a good bit of time as a church looking at what does it look like to read our Bibles in a way that's not just for information, but for formation. And so I've been trying to get my head into 2024 recently. And I've been thinking a lot about how do we actually read our Bibles well. And John Wesley has this line where he says that we are to give God our best time. And so whenever it comes to reading the Bible, for that, it's like not reading the Bible in the moments whenever we're most hurried or with the leftovers of our time, but to give God the best time. And that's really struck me whenever it comes to what I think is the best time of year, which is Christmas time.
Yeah.
And what does it look like for us to give God our best time and to give him this time as a gift and to be open to him? And then Ephesians 5, 15, 16 says this: be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. And that word opportunity in the Greek is the word kairos. And there's two ways to think about time. There's like chronos, which is, we kind of think chronologically, one moment to the next. Or there's kairos time, which is kind of God time, essentially whenever God interrupts ordinary time and just meets with us. And whenever we come to Advent, we are celebrating the Kairos moment of his Advent that has been, but also anticipate the Advent that is to come. But also we can be open to a Kairos moment like right now, as we gather with our family, as we spend time praying, as we watch Christmas movies, as we eat together, as we clean up plates together, that those can be moments whenever God can actually meet with us. And so I guess I'm just wanting to encourage us as a community to give God your best time and also to make the most of this opportunity. Like, don't miss it. Like, don't miss the opportunity this Advent to be able to meet with God, with our families, to be open with him. And then the last thing for me, and then I'm going to hand over to you to pray. I shared this line a couple of months ago with our church, but it's a quote about spiritual formation generally, but I think it sums up a lot of what we've been trying to say in these episodes. Henry Nouwen says, spiritual formation is not about steps or stages on the way to perfection, but it is about the movements that reunite us with God, with each other, and with our truest selves. And I guess that's my deepest prayer for our families, for our households, for ourselves, for our friends, as we work through Habits of the Home together, is that it creates moments for reuniting with God.
Yeah.
Like, I probably shouldn't say that, you know, Love Actually is, you shouldn't watch it with your kids, right? You shouldn't do that. Don't watch it with your families. But there is that beautiful moment at the start and at the end of the movie where there's the airport scene where it's like waiting for families to be reunited. And I kind of feel as if that's a picture for what I would love Christmas to be for us all, is, yes, moments of reuniting with each other and with our families, but more than anything, to reunite us with God, to meet with Jesus, to be reunited with him and to experience him so that we'll be able to grow, become more like him, but also just to enjoy his presence right there and right then. And that's really key. Can I hand over to you to pray for us as we look ahead to celebrating Christmas together?
That's so good. I love that Love Actually reference.
I can't do and watch it with your families, but you know what I mean.
But Love Actually, if you would like to sponsor this podcast, just kidding.
Absolutely. Hugh Grant, come on.
And I just want to say in closing, you guys, Christmas and Advent can be a deeply joyful time of the year. It can also be deeply difficult mm-hmm. for so many reasons for so many people. And as your church family, we want to remind you that if you need any help, any support, any prayer, any practical things, food, you're struggling to heat your house, please, please, please do not struggle on your own.
Yeah.
Okay? Get in touch. We are here for you. And this is what church family is about.
Absolutely. So, that's good.
Let me pray for you. Jesus, I just thank you so much for our church family. I thank you so much for the church as a whole. Mm. And Lord, I just pray that this Advent would be the beginning for some of us for a new rhythm of grace with you, for a new consistency of connecting with you, for a new revelation of the Christmas story, and for a new sense of hope and peace. I pray that as we gather and we feast, that your presence would be with us. I pray for laughter, even in the chaos. I pray that you would fill us with grace, that we would extend grace to all those around us. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for coming for us, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys, Merry Christmas. Mm. Enjoy your Advent, and you better be at church on Christmas Day.
See you then.
See you later.